We're going to keep practicing hard. We're going to stick to our process. We're going to trust what we're doing. You know, I think because he was playing well, you know, that was palatable. You know, I honestly, though, I did think back to, like, you know, Joey Harrington 20 years ago kind of went through the same thing where his team was struggling and that was his message. But because Joey wasn't producing statistically the way Justin was, you know, the message wasn't received quite as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think he, in how he handled himself and the publicity, it was fine. How he played off the, on the field, though, was just, you know, other world, light years beyond, I think, what most Chargers fans hoped for, and was really fun to watch.
You know, I know Coach Cristobal has not reached the point yet where you're being consulted about who replaces Andy Avalos, but in general, this new recruiting signing period in December first surfaced in 2017. Now I was reading about 80% of guys commit then. Rob, is there any logic to, man, there would be a way bigger sense of immediacy if this were 3-4 years ago and we were coming up on the major letter of intent signing day?
That's an interesting question. I don't know if there'd be much more. You know, I think the cycle of when coaches come and go probably has changed a little bit. But, you know, if you know, Boise lost their coach to another team, so they were going to, you know, they were put in a tough spot. It's not like they fired somebody and this opening was created that way. They were put in a tough spot because their guy left for somewhere else. So I'm not sure how much that impacted this situation specifically. And even generally speaking, that's an interesting question. You know, I don't know that. I guess I'd want to look back more on kind of transaction rec logs and things like that and see just how things paired up. But, you know, I think this isn't a decision that you want to rush no matter what. You know, you want to get a good guy in place that checks all the boxes and fits all the criteria. I mean, you know, if Mario Cristobal is involved and being a relentless recruiter is going to be, you know, a job that a responsibility that anybody has to embrace. And then, you know, getting this defense to a kind of the place it was in 2019 and flashes that we saw late in the 2020 season, you know, after what's been a bit of an up-and-down year in 2020.
Well, he sure made the right decision last time, if you ask me, as we continue.
I think so.
With Rob Mosley, GoDucks.com. So all season, it was nothing but Tyler Shuck at quarterback. Then in the Pac-12 title game, there's Anthony Brown. Then in the Fiesta Bowl, well, it's mostly Anthony Brown. Was there any sense that this was part of the plan, any element of surprise? What did you make of the sudden quarterback rotation those past two games?
Yeah, I mean, I think particularly that second half at Cal, you know, Tyler, you know, just suddenly kind of just lost his rhythm a little bit and, you know, just wasn't seeing things the same as he had been earlier in the year. And so, you know, the USC game, you know, was kind of the perfect storm. You know, when you think about using two quarterbacks, I mean, there's dangers there, but that's why you do it. A situation like that where you catch a team a little bit off guard with some situational packages. You know, Tyler Shuck still, you know, was productive when he was in the game, but Brown, you know, throwing for a couple touchdowns. And even early in the bowl game, I think you could say, hey, things were going kind of according to plan. The strange irony is that Anthony Brown comes in to kind of help get the offense out from backed up to its own goal line in that second quarter, accomplishes that, but then it's just boom, boom, boom right down the field. And suddenly you went from being in, you know, the best case scenario for handling a two quarterback situation to almost ironically the worst case. Cause now it's like, well, wait, what do we do? You can't pull a guy after, you know, leading a long lightning fast touchdown drive. So, you know, that's kind of the risk is you get yourself kind of into this gray area where suddenly, you know, the plan's gone off track a little bit because it just didn't go, you know, how you expected. So that was a tough spot for all involved. I think it was, you know, the second half, particularly the bowl game, tough spot for the coaching staff, tough spot for both quarterbacks, you know, trying to figure out what the right answer was, what the right formula was. And then in particular, when Iowa State's just grinding out drives and dominating time of possession, really makes it hard to establish any rhythm. So, like I said, I mean, I think the Pac-12 championship game was kind of the best case scenario when you're using two quarterbacks. Second half, in particular, the bowl game kind of felt like the worst case scenario.
Well, some intrigue for spring, if we get a spring. You do your season in review. You hit on the targets, the receivers, the tight ends, and a lot of contributors, kind of the usual suspects in Red and Johnny Johnson. You mentioned a nice season from Hunter Campmoyer. But the USC transfer, Devin Williams, I mean, 6'5", he had two huge games. So just beyond the numbers, I mean, how excited should folks be about, man, what this guy might become for the next two seasons? I guess I got to tag it with regardless who's in that quarterback.
Yeah, he's just a different dimension. And you look at a couple of the freshmen in Franklin and Thornton that enrolled this month, you know, kind of in that mold, taller, longer guys. So, you know, it's kind of dependent on what Johnny Johnson and Jalen Redd decide to do, whether they decide to use that extra year of eligibility, which I think would be awesome. You know, you've got some guys like Johnson, Redd, Micah Pittman, you know, that don't have the same stature, but, you know, have proven production. They're explosive athletes, sure-handed guys. And then you've got this other dimension with these, you know, younger, taller, longer guys. It's just, you know, a really intriguing mix. And then with Campmoyer gone, you still have DJ Johnson. And then the tight end position was just racked, you know, by injuries this year. So, you know, getting Spencer Webb back, getting Patrick Herbert into the rotation, Cam McCormick, hopefully, if he can work his way all the way back from all his injuries the last couple of years. You know, there's a lot of options. And I think sometimes people are frustrated, you know, not having a Sammy Parker or a Jeff Mayle who catches 75 balls for, you know, 1,000 yards. You know, it's not necessarily a bad thing not to have that. I mean, being able to spread it around and have a lot of reliable guys seems to me a good thing. And it's just a matter of using them in the right situations and pressing all the right buttons that way. And I got to think that now with a kind of a full normal, hopefully normal-ish, more normal than last year off season, you know, Joe Moorhead's really going to enjoy scheming up ways to take advantage of all that.
Normal-ish. Yeah, I'm going to patent that one. How about
we'll take what we can get
to some hoops. So another fairly good in-state recruit who finished his senior season with a flourish, best player in the Pac-12, All-American, Peyton Pritchard, who's really testing my Duck fandom as a Boston Celtic. Well, Rob, what about not only how good he's been, but how quickly he just adjusted, you know, to the highest level on the planet?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they've had some injuries, so there were opportunities there. But talk about taking advantage of a situation. I don't, you know, kind of like just like Herbert. I'm not sure many of us, even the true diehards, expected the kind of rookie seasons that these guys have enjoyed. And it just speaks to them. And honestly, I mean, it's a cliche, but it's their work ethic. And, you know, I talked to Peyton Pritchard a few weeks ago for the podcast we just started doing, and, you know, asked him, like, you know, a lot of guys say they work hard, you know? So you say you work hard and that's what separates you. And he made the point, like, hey, a lot of guys think they work hard, but they don't actually know what that really means. I mean, you know, Peyton knows what it means to put in the time, to dedicate yourself to the game, to kind of give your life over to it. And that's what he's done, and it paid off. You know, he's been ready for that moment, and, you know, not having a normal summer league, not having a normal preseason just didn't matter. I mean, he still hit the ground running. So yeah, it's been fun. And gosh, the way Chris Boucher is playing, you know, some of the highlights Bull Bull had last night, you know, that program's starting to churn out some dudes. Dylan Brooks, obviously, and Tyler Dorsey's playing really, really well over I think his team now in Israel is now in the EuroLeague event over in Europe. So it's really fun to watch those guys. The kind of the frustrating part, particularly the way Boucher's playing now, is thinking back to that 2017 Final Four team, and, you know, had Boucher been healthy, you know, I'm speaking to a hometown audience here, so I'll indulge myself a little bit. Between the 2020 women's basketball tournament getting canceled and Boucher's knee injury, both basketball programs very easily could make the argument that, you know, had circumstances been a little kinder, each one of them would have won a national championship in the last 5 years.
That's not,
and you don't, you know, what ifs aren't worth a whole ton, but I think they both have a very reasonable claim to that.
Well, it's not unreasonable, especially the matchup against North Carolina. Man, could more size have helped there in a rim protector.
Right.
As for this current group, with the pause. It means less games without Will Richardson, who I think is going to be a nice addition. Then you have the Infali-Dante injury, removing their true size. So assuming they get through, start next week with all the new faces gelling, how we like their chances to, you know, make a run at defending this Pac-12 title, to be truth, Rob, in a league that really lacks a powerhouse.
Yeah, I mean, the injuries have been unfortunate. I think, you know, if you held, and this might be indulging myself a little too much, but if you held a two-on-two tournament, like an old NBA Jam-style tournament among conference teams, you could do a lot worse than putting together a duo of Will Richardson and Infali-Dante. I mean, that, you know, that might have been the best, you know, two-on-two team in the league. And so to lose both those guys, given the diversity of skills they bring, is tough because, as we've seen the last couple weeks, you know, without them, you know, it's a lot of guys who are really versatile, can do a lot of things. You know, they've got the size to play inside and outside, plus the skill. But, you know, it's a lot of guys who profile really similarly. You know, those are two dudes that kind of are not in quite that same mold and can do some starkly different things. So not having them is tough. But, yeah, the, you know, the sooner Will can get back, the better. I mean, this pause is a bummer. But, you know, that's, we used to be able to say 2020. We can't say that anymore. Hopefully 2021 doesn't take on the same connotation. So, you know, hopefully we get through this and, you know, weeks from now we're preparing for that Oregon State game.
Yeah, the current Ducks I refer to as the 6'6 patrol. It seems like every guy is 6'6.
Yeah.
As for the women, man, it's been a while since they got taken behind the woodshed. You know,
yeah.
it was the first ESPN game for all but three. That's a really good Arizona team. First time afterwards, by the way, that I've heard Coach Graves a little bit ticked off, you know, rough lesson, but what I was thinking is, considering, you know, everybody talks about the big three that walked out the door and into the first round of the NBA draft, but Mignon Moore was terrific. So, hindsight, I don't want to use that word again, but you think it was maybe logical to think, there's no way, I don't care how good those freshmen or new faces are, this program is, they're going to have to miss a beat and take time to grow into an outstanding team.
Absolutely, and you might have thought a game like the other night would have happened earlier in the season, perhaps. You know, you've lost the teams ranked 11, 1, and now 11 again. And you know, the UCLA and Stanford losses were really, really competitive. You know, and KG was actually really inspired by the performance against Stanford. So, you know, you really only laid one egg. The unfortunate part was it was on ESPN. You know, not how you want to represent yourself on that stage, but you know, there were some things to like. I mean, defensively, this team has the potential to really be on a different level than any of those teams the last 4 years, as good as they were. You know, the issue is offensively producing at the level. You know, when Ionescu and Hebert are on the pick and roll, and Sabali's running around doing all kinds of different things. You know, that offense was so dangerous, and this group's just struggling to do that. And you know, early in the year, you know, Mike Sell, Boley, you know, some of those players, Jazz Shelley, you know, the three-point threat they all represent, you know, can mitigate some other things. But, you know, if they're not hitting threes, you really got to try to lock down on defense. And so some of those younger players were really called upon that to do that, but then they couldn't produce the offense at the same level. So it's just one of those nights where nothing was clicking right. So you hope they can just flush it quickly and move on and not let it linger.
You know, earlier in closing, you mentioned the podcast. So let the folks know the W's of journalism. I mean, who, when, where could they find it?
I appreciate it. Yeah, so we started a podcast called Mighty Oregon Podcast. You know, if you go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever, wherever you get them. And it's really been fun. It's a chance to do, you know, Oregon's so successful in so many different sports that I find myself getting pulled a lot of different ways. So the chance to really immerse myself in, you know, long form storytelling just isn't there as much, just because there's not enough time. But this outfit called Sport and Story is producing them, and I'm hosting them, and their production skills really bring these stories to life. So we've talked to Peyton Pritchard, Sabrina Ionescu, Michael James, Kenny Wheaton, Dan South. We had Shelly Graves hit this week. Next week, Casey Martin. and was willing to look back on everything he's been through the last 20 years, you know, his case that went to the Supreme Court with the PGA and the success he's had as the coach here. So it's really fun. So I wasn't really a big podcast guy. I am now. I listen to him when I'm walking the dog or out on a run. So yeah, if you're out, you know, if you're out walking your dog or getting in some exercise for an hour sometime, give us a listen. I think you'll really enjoy the perspective hearing from some older players and coaches.
Wow, that's your proverbial who's who of Oregon athletics. Folks,
It's been fun.
Sounds awesome. He's Rob Mosley at Duck Football, at Go Ducks Mosley, goducks.com. Rob, always fun. Always enjoy our chats and always appreciate your time. Be well. Enjoy the weekend and we'll catch up soon.
Hey, go Pens.
Yeah, hate them Flyers for me while I'm finishing the show, Rob. Have a good one.
You got it. Yep, you can count on me.
Take it easy.